Take your Bibles and open them to Mark chapter 15, please. Thank you, Becky. Thank you, Kayla. Before the service began, I was harassing Kayla. I told her she's growing up too fast. I'd say that to all the kids, not just Kayla, but my kids especially. I'm a dad. I want them to stay kids. And wish they would stay that way, but they don't listen. They keep growing up. And if you're going to grow up, I am thankful to see the children and teenagers in our church growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And may you grow in your faith, Kayla, and all children and teenagers, young people. May God bless all of you. Mark chapter 15, beginning in verse 1. If you found your place in Scripture, would you please stand as we read this text this morning? What a holy text we've come to. Every word of God, every passage of Scripture is sacred. It is true. It is inspired. Not one part is more important than others. Yet this records for us the heart of the Bible. Let us hear it. Very early in the morning, the chief priests with the elders, the teachers of the law, and the whole Sanhedrin reached a decision. They bound Jesus, led him away, and handed him over to Pilate. "Are you the king of the Jews?" asked Pilate. "Yes, it is as you say," Jesus replied. The chief priests accused him of many things. So again, Pilate asked him, "Aren't you going to answer? See how many things they are accusing you of." But Jesus still made no reply, and Pilate was amazed. Now, it was the custom at the feast to release a prisoner whom the people requested. A man called Barabbas was in prison with the insurrectionists who had committed murder in the uprising. The crowd came up and asked Pilate to do for them what he usually did. "Do you want me to release to you the king of the Jews?" asked Pilate, knowing it was out of envy that the chief priest had handed Jesus over to him. But the chief priest stirred up the crowd to have Pilate release Barabbas instead. "What shall I do then with the one you call the king of the Jews?" Pilate asked them. "Crucify him," they shouted. "Why? What crime has he committed?" asked Pilate. But they shouted all the louder, "Crucify him!" Wanting to satisfy the crowd, Pilate released Barabbas to them. He had Jesus flogged and handed him over to be crucified. The soldiers led Jesus away into the palace, that is, the praetorium, and called together the whole company of soldiers. They put a purple robe on him and twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on him. And they began to call out to him, "Hail, King of the Jews!" Again and again they struck him on the head with a staff and spit on him. Falling on their knees, they paid homage to him. And when they had mocked him, they took off the purple robe and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him out to crucify him. Let us pray. That your Son, who for all eternity is God, but became a man in humility, that the King of Kings, who rules over all creation, yet subjected himself to the authority of the creature, that the one who is sinless would be abused by those who are sinful, we are in awe. We are grieved. May we feel the weight of this passage today. May we understand, at least in part, what Jesus did so long ago. And may the gore and the beauty of that crucifixion morning cause us to tremble. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Years ago, I learned a song at summer camp. Who killed Jesus many years ago? Who is guilty of a crime so low? Why did he have to die? What is the reason why? Who killed Jesus? I would like to know. Let's meet the people involved in the condemnation of Jesus. This cast of characters that we encounter on this horrific morning. First of all, there are the Jewish leaders, the ones who conspired together to arrest Jesus in the middle of the night as he prayed in Gethsemane, the ones who put him on trial and abused him. Jesus was accused and convicted of blasphemy by the Jewish leaders, by the Jewish court. We read of this in Mark chapter 14, verse 61 to 64. Jesus, who is God, stood there before them. The high priest asked him, "Are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed One?" That was his way of asking, "Do you claim to be God?" And Jesus said, "I am." And they accused him of blasphemy. They had all they needed to kill him, in their opinion. Yet, at the time, they didn't have the legal authority to kill anyone. They had no authority, no power, no right legally to condemn anyone to death. Now, that didn't stop them on other occasions. We read, for example, in Acts 7 and 8 of the stoning of Stephen, who was also accused of blasphemy, a different sort of blasphemy. Stephen was stoned by the Jewish authorities at that time. There are at least three reasons why the Jewish leaders did not kill Jesus outright at this point. First of all, Jesus was very popular with the common people. It was their great desire, the Jewish authorities' great desire, to maintain their influence over them. They wanted to maintain the illusion of their moral superiority, and they were fearful that if they outright murdered Jesus themselves, the people would riot against them. In fact, in Mark 14, 1 and 2, as they were looking for a way to kill Jesus, they agreed not during the feast or the people may riot, so they didn't want to directly kill Jesus. They wanted to have the cover of Roman authority. So the second reason that the Jews didn't kill Jesus outright is because it was the Passover season, and Rome had a heightened presence in Jerusalem. The Roman authorities understood that as the Jewish people would gather for their various festivals throughout the year, national sentiment would begin to swell. National pride and interest would begin to captivate the people. And they would look at one another as they remembered how God had brought them out of Egypt, how God had provided for them in the wilderness, how God had done so many good things for them. And they would start to talk with one another and say, "Hey, don't you think God could do that for us again? Why don't we go and take it to the Romans?" And so as so many Jews filled the streets of Jerusalem, the Roman authorities understood that they needed to keep things in check. So during festivals and feasts and holidays, the Romans would have an additional presence, which is why Pilate was there that time. If the Jewish leaders tried to execute Jesus openly, it would draw unwanted Roman scrutiny. They would have Roman interference if they didn't have their permission. And so, for example, in Acts 21, 22, and 23, Paul was in Jerusalem for the day of Pentecost, and the Jews wanted to kill Paul, and they, in a fit of rage, tried to kill him without Jewish or without Roman authorization. And the Romans, who were in town to keep things in check, stopped them from killing Paul. So the chief priests, knowing that the Romans were alert to what was happening, needed to get permission from others. And the third reason, the ultimate reason why the Jewish authorities didn't directly kill Jesus is because of what we read in Mark 10, 33 and 34. Jesus says the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and teachers of the law. They will condemn him to death and will hand him over to the Gentiles, who will mock him and spit on him, flog him and kill him. The reason that the Jewish authorities didn't kill Jesus themselves is because it was part of God's plan to include the Romans in this thing. Why were the Jewish authorities complicit in the death of Jesus? Why did they play their part? In verse 10, Mark chapter 15, verse 10, we're told that it was out of envy. They wanted Jesus dead because they saw Jesus encroaching upon their territory. They saw Jesus encroaching upon their power and influence, and they could not stand it. So they want Jesus dead. They don't feel like they can do it outright themselves, so they get the Romans involved. But when they get the Romans involved, they know the Romans do not care if anyone goes around town and says, "Oh, I'm God." The Romans don't care a thing about Jewish religious sensibilities. So they have to bring a second charge, because Romans won't execute Jesus for blasphemy. But they will execute Jesus for what they would consider sedition. And so the charge that the Jews bring against Jesus is that he is a king. The irony here is that the Jews affirm the truth about Jesus in their acts of denial. Jesus is God, who is our king. He is, in fact, the King of Kings. They envied Jesus. They felt threatened by him because he truly is king. He truly is sovereign. And they were rejecting him. The Jews were responsible for the death of Jesus because they conspired to kill him, because they rejected his authority over them. You know, many people today are just like those Jewish leaders. They are threatened by the kingship of Jesus. They want to be the Lord and master of their own lives. They don't want anybody to tell them what they can and cannot do. And when Jesus shows up on the scene, they feel threatened. That's why so many people are so angry with Jesus today. That's why so many people have so much hatred and vitriol against Christ and Christianity. It's because Jesus makes the absolute claim he is God and King, and nobody outside of the kingdom of God wants to subject themselves to him. And that's why the Jews wanted to kill him. I wonder if that describes you today. Are you rejecting Jesus because you hear his claim to be your king and you don't want it? Do you rebel against him in your life, saying, "You know what, Jesus, I don't care what you say. I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm in charge of my life. I don't care what the Bible says. I don't care what you have said. I don't care what you have done. I'll do what I want and do as I please." Are you like the Jewish leaders? We next meet Pilate. He was the governor from 26 to 36. He oversaw the area of Judea. He answered directly to the emperor Tiberius. But Pilate was in a bit of a difficult situation because he was on the outs with the emperor. His position was in jeopardy, which meant his life was in jeopardy as well. And so Pilate did everything he could to preserve himself. Pilate disliked the Jews. He viewed them with contempt. He was only in Jerusalem to keep a wary eye on things and be ready to respond quickly if the people got out of hand, started a revolt during Passover. Usually he was in his palace on the Mediterranean coast in Caesarea. So he was there begrudgingly. When Jesus was brought before him, he was amazed by Jesus. Pilate, who was no friend of the Jewish people, was amazed that they would be so filled with hate. In verses 2 through 5, he questions Jesus. Now, here in the United States, we have the Constitution. We have the rule of law. We have the Fifth Amendment, which says you cannot be compelled to incriminate yourself. You have Miranda rights. You have the right to remain silent. In the Roman Empire, no such rights existed. If you were arrested and brought before, you were to give an answer when questioned by the Roman authorities. Yet we read here that asked, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus says, "Yes, it is as you say." And as the chief priests continued to accuse him of many things, Jesus remained silent. Jesus gave the bare minimum. And if Jesus refused to answer, then legally Pilate had every right to simply execute him. Yet Pilate knew that Jesus was there not because of any crime that he'd done. There was nothing that anybody could accuse him of. Even though Jesus admitted to being king, there was no evidence that Jesus was doing anything to undermine the Caesar. So Pilate was amazed because every other criminal that had been brought before him, every other prisoner that had come before him for adjudication would make loud protests of their innocence. They would beg for their lives. They would plead for mercy. They would be angry. They would spit. They would revile. Yet here Jesus stands serenely and solemnly and silently before the accusations. Pilate does not want to do the Jews a favor. He doesn't want to placate them. He has no reason to execute Jesus. Yet the Jewish leaders stir up the crowd and the mob. And he realizes he has to do something. Though Pilate recognizes Jesus has done nothing warranting a death sentence, he succumbs to the pressure of the crowd. Verses 13 through 15. They demand his crucifixion. Why? What crime has he committed? Asked Pilate. They don't answer that question. They simply cry out all the louder, "Crucify him." And so Pilate acquiesces. He succumbs to the pressure of the crowd. There are people today who are intrigued by Jesus. They, like Pilate, are amazed by him. Here is this one who is different than anyone else they've ever encountered. This Jesus stands separate from everybody else in all of history. They're amazed, they're intrigued, they're confused, they're bewildered. Yet they hear the opinion of the crowd. And their desire for self-preservation and their self-interest caused them ultimately to reject Jesus. I don't think Pilate thought much of Jesus after this day. I don't think that Pilate gave a lot of attention to Jesus once he was out of the area. Oh, he heard the story. He was amazed that Jesus was out of the tomb when that comes. But he probably forgot about him pretty soon thereafter. I wonder if that's you today. Intrigued, amazed at this man, Jesus, yet ultimately dismissive because it's in your best interest to move along. Pilate was responsible for Jesus' death because he gave the order to have him crucified. Then you have the soldiers. Cruel, hateful, spiteful, verses 16 through 20. They made a sport of abusing prisoners. And understand, they were doing nothing than what they normally did. As I was reading through this text yet again afresh this week and thinking about these people, I imagine the soldiers, and if you were in a fraternity when you were in college, I mean no offense, but the stereotypical frat house where the guys do more and more to stir each other up to greater and greater depths of stupidity and destruction and cruelty. And this is the picture that I get when I think of these soldiers. They were having a good time. They were having fun. They were mocking Jesus. They were punching Jesus. They were enjoying themselves. Because for them, Jesus was just another target, just another prisoner. You know, a lot of people are like soldiers today. They're a lot like these soldiers. They like to make Jesus the butt of their jokes. They like to mock the Christian faith. They like to mistreat the people of God. And they spit on Him. They mock Him. Because they see Him as nothing more than a joke. Is that you? Do you see Jesus as a joke? The soldiers were responsible for His death because they are, after all, the ones that drove the nails. You can't forget about Barabbas, though. We're told that Pilate had a custom in verses 6 through 8. He had a habit. At these festivals, he would release a prisoner. This was not because Pilate cared so much about the Jewish people, but it was a measured political response. This was a way to try to keep the crowds calm. It was a strategy. Pilate had a custom to release a prisoner to the Jewish people, usually someone who was arrested for not a violent crime, but for a political purpose. Someone that they found irritable, but the people liked. Here, in custody, they have a man named Barabbas. Barabbas was not a folk hero. He was a murderer. He was a terrorist. Barabbas was absolutely guilty of crimes deserving of death. And so Pilate, thinking that, well, I can get out of having to deal with this Jesus fellow, offered up Barabbas to the crowd. Yet the crowd chooses Barabbas over Jesus. They chose a murderer over the giver of life. They chose a rebel over the king. In one sense, Barabbas is responsible for Jesus' death because the cross Jesus was nailed to was intended for Barabbas. Jesus took Barabbas' cross, just like He takes our place. Jesus took the judgment that belonged to us. Jesus took the flogging. He took the punches. He took the mockery that belonged to another. We are like Barabbas, sinners deserving to die. Has Jesus taken your place? Finally, we come to Jesus Himself. Jesus, who is eternal God, who became a man, who is the King of Kings, who chose the cross to save us from our sins. Have you put your faith and trust in Him? Have you given your life to Him? Who killed Jesus? Who condemned him to die? Well, the Jews from envy, Pilate from indifference, soldiers in their cruelty, Barabbas by substitution. Jesus deliberately chose the cross. But we have to include ourselves in the list, don't we? The Bible says that Christ died for our sins. Jesus died in our place. Jesus gave His life so that you might have life. Jesus suffered the wrath of God so that you could receive the peace of God. Jesus was separated and condemned so that you might be adopted and received. Have you given your life to Him? Have you humbled yourself and bowed before the King of Kings, pledging your allegiance to Him? Have you put your faith and trust in the Savior who shed His blood for your sins? Do you love the One who came to be your friend and demonstrated His love for you by dying for you? This morning, if you're not a Christian, I invite you to put your trust in Christ, to believe in Him, to receive Him, to admit that you are a sinner, deserving the just judgment of God, to believe that Jesus died in your place, was buried, and rose from the dead, to call on Him and confess Him as your Savior and Lord, giving your life to Him. Will you do that today? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for Jesus, for all that He did for us. May we stand amazed in His presence. Thank You for the gift of love. May we now receive it. In Jesus' name, amen.